Have you ever wondered how sound can heal, inspire, and transform your life? What if the vibrations around you could unlock your true potential and guide you to a deeper sense of harmony? Welcome to Sound Pathways, the groundbreaking journey into the healing power of sound, creativity, and connection with your host, Dr. Karen Olson. In each episode, she explores the profound link between your mind, body, and spirit. From composers and musicians to sound healers and visionary leaders, she'll dive into captivating conversations that reveal how sound shapes your reality, heals our wounds, and helps us manifest our dreams. And guess what? You're part of the conversation. So call in and ask questions and experience personalized sound healing live. And let your sound be your guide to the life you've always dreamed of.
Hello. I want to thank you so much. I'm so honored to have you here with us on the first official Sound Pathways show. It's really exciting. We're going to explore the power of sound and music and vibrations and energy and how it shapes our minds, our spirits and our bodies and how it all comes together. It's not just something we hear, it's something that we feel, and it can move us in every way in our lives. In the deepest level, it can heal us. And we're going to be talking about the creative process, the process that can help us change our lives and create that person and be the person that we really are. And I am so thrilled to introduce you to the phenomenal David Vito Gregoli. He's an award-winning, versatile producer, composer, and multi-instrumentalist. He's known for his New Age and world music. And we're going to learn all about his exciting collaborations with notable artists. And he has this huge, diverse discography. It's amazing. I had so much fun listening, and it's like I was traveling to different worlds. So welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
So much.
It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I love you calling yourself that you're a sound painter. And I want to quote you. When you said that you described yourself as a sound painter, using all the colors, even colors from another genre, but in the truth, you said it's more like a sculpture. You start with a block of marble and you chip away at it over and over until a figure starts to form. Then more and more chipping away, and it starts to look like a recognizable image. Finally, the fine polishing transforms it into art. But sound sculpture doesn't sound as cool as sound painter, so I stick with that. And you could you explain this more about how you like to think of sound as sculpturing these forms of amazing music productions?
Yeah, I mean, painting is something everybody can relate to. It's something they've done since they were kids, you know, finger painting. So it's something everybody can relate to, and they, you know, they have memories of grabbing the orange or the blue and seeing what it did on the piece of paper. Even if you have absolutely no inclination towards art, it's something we can all relate to. In terms of sculpture, it's a little more specialized. You know, it's not something you try when you're 6 years old. So it's a little more outside ourselves feeling of when you talk about sculpture. And sculpture is insofar as, you know, creating music and taking the tones, the colors, and then you shape it and you keep shaping and refining it. It's like polishing. You start with, you know, 220 sandpaper and, or actually 80. Which way does it go? You start with a very rough sandpaper and you get to this very fine polishing. And that's when the art really starts to glisten and glow. So musically, I think it's the same thing. It's like, I don't think what I do is convincing until I get 90% into it. And then you can start to hear on, I would say tape, but you know, we don't use tape anymore, but you hear on tape what I've been hearing in my head since, you know, 10% into the project. So wow. It's really about taking what's inside you and externalizing it and shaping it for other people to consume and enjoy. I always think there's two mixes you do of every song. There's the mix for you, which may not be something that translates into, you know, popular consumption. And then there's the second one you do. You adjust your mix. You adjust, you cut it differently. Maybe you EQ it differently so that it's something that people can consume, because they're not necessarily the same thing. The thing in your head is the thing in your head. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the thing in your head, right, as you hear it. So, you know, there's a variable in that. So that gets us to talking about how each of us inputs music in terms of what does it bring for us, what memories, what images, what feelings especially. You know, there are songs that are absolutely nonsense lyrically that everybody just relates to because of the mood of the piece, not necessarily the lyrics. So I digress.
That is so cool. I'm wondering, since not everyone here is a musician and a composer and producer or a sculptor, that concept, it's so fascinating that you said at 10% you could see the rest and where it's going. So I'm wondering, because it's inside of you, I'm wondering how that could relate to us in our lives when we might just have an inkling of 10% of where we want to be, our dream life or dream person, and we have all that to chisel away, which is what I think sound healing and energy work is all about. And how you're able to, I know it's a gift that you have, which is incredible, but for people, I think everybody has the gifts, how they could take that image and the steps to getting there.
Yeah, what you just said about everybody has gifts, I don't believe that someone's more talented than someone else. I believe there's something in your neural pathways that allows you to excel at a particular thing, whether it's throwing a basketball, doing a painting, or composing music. So for each of us on this planet, you know, we have the ability to tap into where our neural pathways are naturally, you know, falling into, and to try to take advantage of that. And let's see, where was I going with that?
Well, I can add something.
Okay, go ahead.
So if you know me at all, you know that I'm into energy and dreams and changing. And one of the big things that I love so much about music is that it's vibrations, and it goes to our subconscious mind, that level where we have the feelings, those memories, the ones that weren't so good, because somehow we remember those the most for some reason, from when we were a kid and we labeled ourselves as being this way, and then we have to repeat that through our lives. And the cool thing about neural pathways is our brain can change. So if we repeatedly think in a new way, and then we're going to live in a new way. So it's just having the vision and then taking the steps and repeating them, and then we're able to do it.
And it's exactly
amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, so, you know, Malcolm Gladwell talks about the 10,000 hours. You know, those are creating neural pathways by repeating, you know, whether it's practicing an instrument or practicing, you know, riding a bicycle. And, you know, the old saying is you never forget how to ride a bicycle. You know, that says something about our neural pathways, where they're accessible. So if you forget something, it just means it's just harder to access. It's still there, I think. I don't think memories really go away. They just become, it's like a hard drive on a computer. You know, it gets filled up, and then your computer doesn't want to work so fast because it's busy moving around information. It's just ones and zeros. So in the same way, our memory, you know, the stuff that we have in our, you know, our RAM, our, you know, accessible memory becomes smaller because our, you know, the hard drive is filled up. So people go, well, I'm 65 and I can't remember much. I forget things all the time. And I'm going, yeah, it's because your hard drive's full, you know?
And that's the best time to do the music, or, you know, even listening to pieces from when you're younger and your brain rewires. And even if you don't have that many hours, it still, habits can be formed. It's just the repetition, and to not be discouraged or overwhelmed to think, oh, I would never have that much time, but just small steps are really what it's about, I think. And I read that you were a real virtuoso on the guitar when you were younger, and then you decided to get training in classical music, and you had some real spiritual experiences that moved you over to the new age and world music, which is genres I love to live in because it's really so powerful. It has these images and it really takes you to other places. So I was wondering what two or three musicians do you feel inspired you a lot when you're developing?
You mean 20 or 30?
Yes, many as you want to share.
I think, you know, for my generation, it's got to be the Beatles is the number one influence. They drove a path through the forest that we're all following and we're still following. I mean, the fact that they just won a Grammy, 50 years after they were broken up is a testament to their living legacy. And, you know, Ringo and Paul are still out there doing concerts in their 80s. Who had ever thought that was going to happen? Yeah. Which also says, you know, hey, there's life after retirement for people. There's a lot of time to do the things you've always wanted to do. You know, what is it? Grandma Moses didn't start painting till 75.
Really? I love those stories. Oh, and yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright did some of his biggest works in his 80s, the architect.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's
so our limits, the limits we have are the limits we put upon ourselves or that we interpret as circumstances putting upon us. And I was talking about, you know, 10% of the sculpture, I start to get an idea of what it's going to be. But at the same time, all along the way, you're letting your creation become its own thing, like you would raise a child, you know. Don't play in the middle of the street, eat your vegetables, whatever, but they come out the way they come out. You have kids, right?
Yeah.
So you know that. I don't have kids, but I've watched other people have kids. Yeah. And I was a kid, so I always give myself credit for that.
Yeah.
But in the same way, you know, your piece will want to be what it wants to be. And you can try to mold it like you do a child going through, you know, different stages of their life, but it will be what it is. And there's a certain amount of letting go in that process. So I would say that the 10% I was talking about is something everybody can tap into in their own lives. If you don't know exactly what that thing is that you're moving towards, it's about keeping yourself open, to the frequencies on so many levels of what's coming towards you and how you want to shape that as best you can, whether it's, you know, something artistic or something you're trying to manifest, a new small business or anything, a relationship. I mean, it's all about having the intuition to interpret the small part that's coming to you so you can have an active role in creating it into something that you desire it to be. Does that make sense?
Beautiful. Yeah, it's awesome. And along those lines, it is finding that space, taking the time to be calm and so you can hear what is coming in, which you're so brilliant at. Your work is really amazing. I felt like I went on this big journey around the world listening. Each track is its own little world, and it's just been amazing, really uplifting, very spiritual. And I'd love to hear more about, you worked with Ricky Cash. He's the three-time Grammy winner.
Five-time nominee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you lose track.
Three-time
so
winner.
Amazing. And Jim Kimo West and Lisa Coffey. And there was the two Jim projects that are recent. So they're all really different, but they're all very descriptive. Each one, the tone colors, all the different instruments, and bringing in the different genres. Could you tell us about that process and some of your recent works that you release? You released one, and one's coming out soon.
I'm kind of on a what do you call it, train that has many, many, many compartments in it. And so I end up releasing something every 2 to 6 weeks
Wow.
because I'm working with so many different people. And it
Wow.
becomes, a bit of admin to try to keep the releases from bumping into each other
That's a
because
nice
they have
problem.
everybody I'm working with has their own, train going along too. So it's try to coordinate everything. But if I could back up to something that you said about that, there's a reason why I like to make my pieces to have a journey. And it's similar to Ricky and Jim Gelser and Jim Kimmel West. We all have a similar thing. Jim Kimmel West's album that he won the Grammy for was Guitar Stories. Ricky, I don't know if he talks much about this, but he's a huge film buff. So he's tapped into that. Jim just scored a short film that's, I think, winning awards right now or getting nominated. And I grew up here in Hollywood, around Hollywood. My mother was in the business, my grandfather, my sister, my ex-wife. So I've been around drama my whole life, and I think that informs how I construct my pieces. It's like a film. You start here, you have your development, and then you have your resolution. So if it feels like you've been on a journey, then my job is done, in
Oh,
that sense.
yes. I wish we could hear some of your music right now, but you're on all the platforms, the
Yes.
streaming platforms, and you have your website. Or what's the best way for people to, well, we're not done talking yet, but just I'd like
Yeah, we can
people
just
to be able
start
to
out right
find
now.
you. Yeah.
My website is vitogregolimusic.com. And you're right. And the best place to reach me, the best site to reach me at is the site that you use. So if you're on Pandora or Spotify or Apple Music, the one that you use the most, just type in David Vito Gregoli. I mean, you can probably just type in Gregoli. I don't think anybody else is going to come up. Possibly something in Italy. I don't know.
And how about social media?
Social media. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm no longer on X for reasons that shall remain nameless. And I haven't quite started up on Blue Sky yet, but I plan on getting on there fairly
And
soon.
just under your name.
Yes.
That's great. So now I want to hear more about the process. I know you've talked about how you have the 10%, and there's also a quote where you said you have the ability to hear something in everything, and you can see around the bend when someone is playing an idea and then inspires you as a producer. So I was wondering if we could take like one of your tracks and just hear about how it shaped, how the shape came and your collaborations. And oh, I'm going to put a little insert. One of my dreams is to work with you one day, so I want to
You
see
will.
that happen. Yes. Yes.
I would say in general, what I mean by that is, and I think what it is when I say I'm able to hear something is that I've heard so much music in my life. I'm 65 now. I've heard so much music in my life that when you play me something, it points to something I've already heard. And I take maybe things I've heard, maybe 10 different things, and I kind of put that as a direction together. Oh, that's one of those. So we're going to go down this aisle in the supermarket. You don't go down the vegetable aisle to buy meat, so you want to make sure you're pointed in the right direction. And as you go, you discover more about the piece, what it's going to be. And you have, like I said, like you're guiding your child. You want it to be, okay, well, I want this to be an ambient track. I want this to be a pop track. I want this to be a reggae track. I did with Lisa Coffey, I did the Bhagavad Gita as a rock opera a few years ago. It was a double album, so there's like 18 chances to go down different aisles of the supermarket, and that was fun.
That is so cool. When you did the Liquid Planet, there's so many different instruments on it. Could you describe some of the instruments that you brought in to create so many different worlds in it?
Well, that's interesting. And the same thing with Jim Gelser and with Jim Kimo West and Lisa Coffey. Each one brings their own influence into the project. And when I work with Ricky, like the first album we did, which is this album is based on, is Wild Monsoon. And that consisted of about half the tracks he sent me from India and half the tracks I sent him from here. And each of us gets to interpret what's coming to them in the way that you interpret it. So I hear this way. Somebody else may hear it a different way. And that makes the individuality of the collaboration special. And with Ricky and I, we would throw things back very, very easily. There wasn't like, oh, I don't know about that. That's really, I want to go in a different direction. It was always very copacetic, very easy. And when I started working with Jim Kimo, it was kind of the same thing. And both situations, and Jim Gelser, who's in Canada, I'm dealing with, we send things. We're not in the same room creating. I think the only time Ricky and I were in the same room when we did Wild Monsoon was mixing, and he happened to be here for the Grammys. So we decided to mix at that time. Jim Kimo lives about 20 minutes from me, so there's really no excuse for us not to be working together. But because the flow of creativity works as the way it does, one of us will just noodling around on the guitar and we'll go, hey, this would be great for the Kimo Vito album, you know. And same thing with Jim Gelser, you know, we'll send each other ideas and we'll send it back. And each of us, the beautiful thing about collaboration is this. If I hand you something, you're going to take it and do something else with it. When you hand it back, it's something fresh for me. I've never heard it specifically like that. So I don't have my prejudices or preconceptions when I handed it to you. So now it's coming back to me and I'm going, oh, wow, this is great. This is going a slightly different direction, but that's cool. Let's see. And you get excited about what they contributed. And then you work off that and this goes back and forth a number of times. So, you know, with Ricky's very genre informed, so he will pull in sounds from Asia, Southeast Asia. He'll pull things from India, from, you know, he grew up with, you know, I think like, you know, one, those hard rock bands from the 90s. So he sometimes pulls in something edgy from there. When he and I are working together, it's liable to be just about anything because we're not restricted by norms in this particular genre of new age / world / ambient music. With Jim Kimo, it's a little more regimented because we're doing a specific fingerstyle guitar. But, you know, he plays a number of instruments. I play a number of instruments. And we pull out whatever instrument is suitable. Like I'm working on the last song for the new album on alto flute because that's what the song needed.
That is so cool. So you play so many instruments. Could you just name some of them?
Well, there's two sets. There's the ones I play well, the ones I play enough to get by to make a convincing color. Like I don't play flute like with an orchestra flautist. I'm not going to be doing, you know, Daphne Sinchloe by Ravel, but I can add a color with it. And that's what I've always done is just to add the color. So I think, you know, obviously I've been trained as a guitar player all my life, as a bass player. I started out on drums. I picked up keyboards in high school and flute in high school. And I really wanted to learn sitar. I still really want to learn sitar. It's a lifetime thing. And, you know, you start collecting instruments. You figure, how does this go? It's like a race car driver can get into a Honda Civic or can get into Formula One. It doesn't matter. It's still a car. He just, where's the gear shift? Where's the two pedals? Okay, I'm good to go. It's the same thing with a musical instrument. So when I get a new musical instrument, like I just got a Puerto Rican cuatro. Okay, so what's the tuning? Let me get familiar with the chords. And then you just apply the musicality that you got from way back to this new instrument.
Is that like
So
a guitar type instrument?
it's a five course kind of guitar instrument. It has not nickel, copper strings, brass strings, sorry. So it's got a very bright tone. And if you ever have a chance to Google a quattro, Cuar, no, C Cuatro, Portuguese, because there's two kinds. There's a Portuguese and then there's a Venezuelan, I think. And just look on YouTube and you'll find something and you'll hear, wow, that's a really beautiful sound. It's very unique, which is how I pick the instruments I want to get. Either it's for a project specifically, oh, I want to, have that color in my composition, or it's just something, wow, that's really unique. I really want to, add that to my palette. Getting back to the painter thing.
That is so cool. So projects take some go quickly and some takes a long time. What's the quickest and the longest that you've had in
One
a
of the longest,
project?
I think, has to be the first album with Ricky, which was Wild Monsoon. We met, I think, in 2012. And then we were at the ZMR Awards, which were the, at the time, the New Age Music
Yeah,
Awards.
I won one of
And,
those. Yeah.
oh, cool.
Yeah.
I was nominated, and Ricky was nominated in the same category. And we were sitting together in the audience. And we kept elbowing each other. Oh, you're going to win. I bet you're going to win. And he kept saying the same thing to me. Neither of us won, but it got us to kind of laugh and think about, well, maybe we should do something together. So we started sending tracks, across the world, literally. And then Ricky's next project, Winds of Samsara, with Wouter Kellerman, won a Grammy. So all of a sudden, Ricky's life is like,
Yeah.
because in India, they take winning a Grammy as being a national event rather than for us, especially here in Hollywood. It's like, oh, you got a Grammy? Good. I got 12. There's a certain jaded quality. So Ricky's life changed. He got involved. He's always been involved. Environmentalism has.
Yeah.
And I have also had a great interest in that. And I really admire what he's accomplished. But he started working with the Indian government, with the UN,
Yes.
with other organizations, UNESCO, I think, probably some things that Trump has cut, one of those agencies. But he's been deeply involved in activism and bringing healing music to people. That's been his latest
On such a
kind
large
of.
scale, the audience is like 250,000, and they're not small.
When I met him, he goes, yeah, I might convert part of my studio to a small space where I could do a few concerts. And now he's like, thousands and thousands of people all over the world. It's kind of really kind of cool to behold.
Yeah,
So
no,
anyway, so
you,
it took us a
yeah.
long time to get things done. And finally, I kind of just pushed to say, hey, we've got a little window here. Let's release it. And we did. And it got very, very good reviews. And I think it's one of the best things I've ever worked on.
Beautiful,
And
yeah.
similarly with Jim Chemo, effortless. He's the sweetest guy. He's the easiest to get along with. And he has a real curiosity about what somebody else is doing. So if I do something, he'll immediately pivot off that. Same here. On the new album that we're working on, he wrote a bridge to a song that was so beautiful, I kind of said, I'm just going to take this whole slice of the song and put it in another song and build a song around it because it was just so stunning to me. So we have that reaction with each other. And I think, get back to Ricky for a sec. He has this saying, the reason I do the way, what I do is because I always work with people who are better than me, which is a little bit of humility, but it's also true, Jim Chemo is a better fingerstyle guitarist than I am. I'm a better bass player than he is, or la la la, whatever. It goes back and forth. So, you have to be a little bit in love with what somebody does in order for them to be a good collaborator. Same thing with Jim Gelser. He and I have different skills, but we have a lot of overlap. He's a percussionist, but he's also a composer. He also plays other instruments. So I'm just really having a lot of fun collaborating. My partner was asking me, when am I going to do an album with just me? And I'm going, I'm having too much fun working with other people right now. So I'm in no rush. But I've got projects up here that are, some of them which are already recorded, and eventually we'll see the light of day.
That is amazing. And when you're talking, I'm thinking about how that's life, relationships in all areas of our life, that we have the strengths and the weaknesses, and hopefully we do aspire to be around people that inspire us and move on from people that are not bringing out our best, and that it's fun.
Exactly. Yeah. It's so much of music is a metaphor for life, and so much of life is a metaphor for music. So.
Yeah. Gosh, I love talking to you. It's really beautiful that you shared with us your time and all your inspiration, and everybody has to listen and just take time to be on a journey and get lifted up and carried around the world. It's amazing. Amazing. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I can't
Pleasure
wait
to be here and talk with you.
Yeah, thank you. Wow, what a great beginning. So thank you. We're going to take a little break now, and then we're going to come back and talk more about music and sound and energy and life. So thank you.
Are you ready to elevate your energy and awaken your dreams to their fullest potential? This isn't just music. It's transformative, intuitive healing, sacred frequencies channeled to shift your energy, dissolve blockages, and align you with your highest potential. It's your path to vibrant health, limitless dreams, and a life of purpose. Each note is harmonized to your unique frequency, unlocking profound healing, inner harmony, and a deep rejuvenating renewal. Discover the powerful tools of sound healing you carry with you. Visit KarenOlson.com/events to sign up for the free webinar titled Release Stress and Find Inner Peace Through Sound, and explore personalized one-on-one sessions at KarenOlson.com/services. The moment for peace is now. Don't wait. Embrace the healing you deserve.
Hello. So music, it can soothe. It can inspire, it can make us dance, it can balance our energy and help us feel centered and grounded. I'd like to invite you to relax, get comfortable, and if you'd like, close your eyes and take a deep breath in through your nose, hold it, release it through your mouth with a sigh. Pause and do that again and continue and then breathe normally. Listen to these vibrations and feel them inside of you because you're an instrument. My book, Sound Path, Using the Power of Sound and Silence for Health, Harmony, and Happiness, I present a method for sound healing. It's 7 steps. It has the acronym STRINGS: surrender, trust, reflect, inspiration, new ways, gratitude, and serenity. And it's also kind of based around the seven chakras. I'm not sure if you're familiar with chakras. It's a system from Eastern cultures that helps us think about themes and the energies that are created. And they're seen as being in different parts of our body, and there's these swirling rings of energy. And the goal is that they're all open and that they're all balanced. But sometimes when we feel really nervous or agitated or stuck or down, it's because there's something that isn't quite working for us. And we can see that in different ways. But I like to help people remove those blocks so that you're free and you feel free. And in the healing process, it happens one belief or one release at a time, because if everything changed all of a sudden, it would just be too much for us. But it's really a fun process discovering about that. And when I do healing work, I'm able to tap into the intuition, and I call upon energies from above us to help guide us, the angels and guides, and really go to those places where any trauma or disappointment is stuck, and then we're able to release it. And one way to think about it is thinking the root chakra is kind of at our tailbone, and the sacral is above that, and the solar plexus around our belly button, and the heart chakra, and the throat chakra about speaking out. And we have a sixth sense that helps us with our intuition, and the seventh chakra connects us to the heavens, the divine. I'd like to focus on the root chakra, because that helps us kind of feel grounded, and it helps us feel more secure. It has to do with sometimes our survival, our belonging. It's about our ancestors. And sometimes we want to bring in our traditions and our ways of being, but sometimes they aren't things we need to repeat. And we can break those patterns and really raise to a higher level for our lives, for all the people we influence around us, and for any of our family. I like to think of us as a bell. And when the bell's free, it rings how it's meant to ring. But if there's something in the way, it can't really ring. So one of the goals is just to clean it off so that it's always able to ring. Oops, I'm just gonna. And we're always able to sing and be who we are. So to be able to release anxious thoughts or any fear-based things that we just sometimes hold on to, they're just patterns and we don't need them. We can realize that we don't even have to have them. But the first step is to realize them so that we can feel balanced and present and deeply connected to our lives and our life purpose. So as we're doing that, I love to have all my toys, my sound healing things. I have this beautiful drum that was made for me by someone in Minnesota where I grew up. It's a deer skin. This is called a buffalo drum. And once again, if you close your eyes, I want you to feel connected through your feet to the core of the earth and bring all that energy up through you. Thank you. feel anything that's blocking you from ringing and singing. It's like dust that's collected that we don't need. Feel it just releasing. Like to invite anyone that would be interested to call in. And I'd like to offer you a sound healing. It's about releasing, just listening. And I connect up and I can connect in. And another thing that's beautiful is that we're all one, we're all connected. We're like these strings that are all vibrating together. In the whole world, there's a whole string theory about how everything is vibrations. But when I work with somebody, it's for everybody because we're all the same. Have you ever noticed that in group? Maybe you're too shy to raise your hand. I know how that feels. And yet, the person says just what you needed to hear. So, let me see. I would like to do a sound healing for someone, Rachel Schenker. She wanted me to use her name. She was sharing with me that she wasn't able to be here right now, but it's also interesting that time is one. It's the past and the present and the future are all here with us. And sometimes things that show up in our lives for lessons are things that have been kind of brewing, things that need to be released. And there's that saying, you know, that if we don't learn the lesson this time, then we're going to be reminded another time. And each time it might shout a little louder at you. Or I don't know how karma would fit into that. But anyways, now is a great time. So she struggles with the feeling of being overwhelmed by all the negativity that's in the world and all the struggle. And when she was young, there was a lot of fear and feeling powerless as a child. And somehow feeling the weight of the world and the world chaos was about her and some role she had in it. And for us to learn how to release that and to be free, there were so many things that happened to us as a child or that was said about us that had nothing to do with who we are. It had to do with the person who said it, because they were just passing down what they knew. And it's so beautiful that we do have the power to change that, which is what I love about sound healing. So remember that what happens around us isn't all about us, but we can choose. We can own what is ours. I love the serenity prayer, the serenity to change the things we can, and the wisdom, the courage to change the things we can, the serenity to accept the things that we can change, and the wisdom to know the difference. That always works. Because I remember, you know, it's been a big healing growth process for me throughout my life. So many things to learn, and thankfully, I've been able to learn many things. I'm really grateful. Also for my gifts that I've been given that I love to share. So this is going to be about releasing what isn't ours, releasing fear of what's going on, and what might happen, as we're powerless. But we are not powerless over ourselves and how we think, and over what we are able to do and what we are able to create.